This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Knightson from ESPN Milwaukee. Brian Rhodes from ESPN West Palm. Catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Jonathan, also, you can catch him Sunday mornings. Busted Open Radio. A lot of good stuff happening on Sundays. Coming out of pay-per-views, going into pay-per-views. Busted Open, Jay Hood. Catch him Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. Plenty of things to dive into as we are just inching closer and closer to WrestleMania season. We know that night one WrestleMania main event is going to be that triple threat. Paul Heyman, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins. We now know what the favor was for CM Punk. He wanted Paul Heyman in his corner, much to the chagrin of the Tribal Chief. Not happy about that on SmackDown. Even then, having Punk had to come out and defend Paul Heyman to Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw. And now Seth claiming that Paul Heyman owes him a favor after he didn't stomp his head into the mat to close out Raw on Monday night. So the big question is, this is now revolving around the Hall of Fame, Paul Heyman. Who is Heyman going to be standing next to at the end of WrestleMania Night 1?
Well, it's looking more and more like Seth Rollins, but I'm trying to figure out the way that that can happen without Roman and Punk being absolutely pissed. Because you see, we know that Paul Heyman's not a worker. So when Roman gets mad, he's nothing he can do about it. And also, if Punk gets mad, what is going to happen? And again, Seth Rollins is just one man. He doesn't have an army around him. So it's just Seth. So I think on this show, we've been asking a lot, Brian, of like, what is Seth Rollins? Who is Seth Rollins? He's kind of been the underneath guy, getting beat a lot. Good matches, but got beat a lot. And so I'm just wondering, is this the comeuppance now for Seth Rollins to be a tippy-top guy now aligned with Paul Heyman?
Yeah, I mean, Rollins has been upfront about it where he feels like he's Savage to the Hogan, he's Hunter to the Rock. Like, I think Rollins benefits most from a win on Saturday night. If Rollins is the one standing in with Heyman, like, that adds to his character. He benefits a lot more than both Punk and Roman. I want to believe that that's where Heyman goes, but I still think it's Punk at this point. And I feel like this is sort of just, you know, adding the doubt because we all sort of said, oh, well, he's going to side with Punk. Then they reveal the favor. But I think the Rollins part is like, oh, well, maybe it is Rollins now. And Punk trying to be smartest in the room. It ultimately ends up being Punk.
And this is no offense to Seth Rollins. If he is standing with Seth Rollins at the end of WrestleMania, it's going to feel like when Paul was with Curtis Axel after he had turned on CM Punk.
No offense.
What?
That is very offensive.
I said no offense, so it's not offensive. No, in the Geneva Convention, look it up.
That's not how that works.
That's exactly how that works.
No. You just call McGillicuddy pretty much Rollins.
Well, wow. But it's not going to feel right, is what I'm saying. Like, it's just going to feel like, oh, okay. Like, there's nothing tying him to, you know, there's nothing tying him to Seth Rollins. I don't know if you can do anything interesting with that. Again, maybe it does add a layer of intrigue and almost makes the triple threat kind of worth it. Because we've criticized this triple threat match, saying a one-on-one match between any combination of the three men is infinitely more interesting than this triple threat match. But I still don't see even Seth Rollins winning this match. Like, if I just see Seth Rollins being in this match as the guy that can take the pinfall. There's Curtis Axel.
This was Michael McGillicuddy at one point, this guy.
So what if the story is Rollins saying, like, he's so vengeful, he's so spiteful that just beating them wasn't enough. He had to take, you know, the guy closest to both Rollins, to both Roman and Punk. And that's the angle.
So now Roman and Punk are going to chase him?
Yeah.
You know, but if nothing else, guys, it is interesting because Paul Heyman, once again, is the centerpiece of all of this. You know, it seems like if we're going to rank them, though, doesn't Roman feel third? Because the bloodline is not necessarily the hottest thing right now. There's bloodline adjacent stuff like The Rock coming back and Solo Sokoa and all that. But I just think that at this point in time, Roman feels third out of these three.
Well, at this point, it also, if you want to bring up The Rock, Doesn't really feel like Dwayne's going to be around for Mania, does it?
I mean, he will be around, yes, but maybe at Mania, but not before Mania because his schedule is busy.
I doubt he's even at Mania.
Yeah.
Like, because if he was going to be at Mania, again, because last year he would just take his phone, flip it, and just, you know, cut a 20-minute promo that he'd throw up on social media to keep him in front of mind. Like, unless he shows up tomorrow night with John Boy, I don't think we're seeing Dwayne at WrestleMania at all this year.
It feels that way, but there's no way Las Vegas that Rock will not appear. You can't have this story without The Rock saying something. And I think that this comes down to what we've seen as of late, this WWE Vault stuff they're talking about. They're going to the past because of Triple H going to the Hall of Fame, of the disconnect between Rock and Triple H when they were wrestling. Seems like there's I think that there's an issue now. I think it was an issue last year, and I think an issue now between these two. Before, it was this professional, right? Who's going to be on top for the WWE Championship? There's been a professional issue with these guys for years. Man, you can't go through this story and not have The Rock be involved in some way, shape, or form at WrestleMania.
I hope you're right, but
I do think, though, to your point, like, if you're a Hunter, you have a right to be pissed at Dwayne, where you have all this long-term storytelling, and then Dwayne's like, oh, I'm available. Oh, I'm not available. Like, oh, I might be around for this. Like, it makes it hard to tell stories long-term if one of your big centerpieces isn't there. I do think there's a reason. We've barely mentioned The Rock during all these Cena and Cody stuff.
I mean, Rock could also be pissed off that he didn't get his match against Roman last year. That was clearly the plan, and Hunter screwed that up by having Cody win the Royal Rumble. Even though he knew, again, with all the official materials that are out there, he knew Rock Roman was the plan. And he decided to leave that door open, and so he's got no one to blame but himself, if that's the case.
The old man would have not done business this way. This in and out, this, oh, I'll be here, I won't be here, that kind of stuff. As you guys know, when it came to the McMahon era WrestleMania, the part-timers would be there for 6 weeks straight leading into WrestleMania because you gotta, I don't know, promote the event. You can't have the revolving door. Could you imagine Brock with The Undertaker is like, I'll show up when I want to show up. We'll be there at Mania, but if I'll check my schedule. That just wouldn't happen, man.
No. No. And again, so that's bloodline stuff. So that's why, because I'm assuming, like, and another reason why Roman feels like he's third on the list of where Heyman's going to be standing, we're all assuming that Roman just is going to be gone for a while after WrestleMania again, right? Like, that's... Yeah. There's just the contract he was able to negotiate, what he got. He doesn't yet have to be around. I wouldn't be shocked if he's not around. So it doesn't make a ton of sense for Heyman to ally himself with Roman Reigns at the end of the day.
And I know this is going to sound bad. Can I say out loud on an open mic that there's nothing for Roman right now creatively? I mean, ultimately, it's about the Undisputed Championship. You know, Jay more than likely is going to win the title from Gunther. So I'm talking about from a championship standpoint, where does Roman go? It's tied up with Cena right now.
Yeah. I mean, again, the only thing I can try to connect dots with to make something make sense for Roman is Cena wins the title. Rock is in his corner. Eventually, Rock turns on Cena to get the championship. Roman's the only one who can stop Rock, and we get Roman Rock eventually down the line. And we eventually get to Roman Rock. Like, that's top of my head. That's the only thing I can try to make even a little bit of sense in terms of going after a championship.
Are we ending both nights of Mania with heels standing on top? Cena Sunday and then Heyman plus whoever on Saturday?
That's very likely. You sure that?
I don't know if last year, but if Punk wins with Heyman already in his corner, like, Punk's, that doesn't make Punk a heel.
You're saying if it's Rollins, right?
I'm saying if Punk wins and pins Seth Rollins.
Well, that's a babyface pop. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's already got Heyman in his corner. Like, there's nothing to do to like turn Rock necessarily. And right now, for the first time ever, Paul Heyman's a babyface.
A little bit, a couple of years ago when Roman turned on Paul, if you recall. I saw that. Yeah. I was in Chicago. I saw that. I was in attendance for that. That was that murky thing a couple of years ago where they were beating up on Paul and they were mad at Paul or whatever.
Well, that's sort of what it was Monday with Rollins and then Heyman yelling back at him. Like, were we supposed to feel bad for Heyman? Is that Rollins is a heel?
Yeah. Again, you're threatening to beat up Paul Heyman, who is defenseless. Right. Yeah, that's a heel move. That is without a doubt a heel move from Seth Rollins.
All of this circles back, though, to the original question about who's standing next to Paul. And can we just envision Seth Rollins being a top guy in that spot next to Paul? And it's hard to look at. It's hard to see. Only because we've seen Rollins have some great matches. And I think that he's doing some great promo work, guys, actually. I thought that last week was fantastic when he's in the robe. I thought that was good stuff. But, man, to him aligning himself with Paul Heyman – I don't know. It just seems like it's Punk and Heyman. That's what I want to see at the end of the night.
Yeah. You brought up there's nothing creative really right now. Is there anything creatively for any of these guys on the Raw after Mania?
No, because having all of them gone through Drew McIntyre, I think that was the height of it, right?
Yeah. Like I don't know how many more times I need to see Punk and Rollins. Like, I've gotten that twice already this year.
I can make a case if one of them is the heel, you chase Jay till SummerSlam.
Seth?
Jay is world champ. Yes, Seth versus Jay.
Yes. You mean the Jay that has confidence?
Yes. He's not afraid. And he doesn't want the crowd to yeet.
God, oh my God. Yeah, calm the crowd down in Minneapolis. Like, nah, no yeet right now. You ever talk to your mama? What do you talk to your mama about?
Gunther seems as confused as everyone else there.
They thought he had a nervous breakdown. He's thinking to himself, this is not on the script. I don't know. Why are you asking about mama? I don't understand mama.
Because none of those guys, because again, if we're getting new champs, right? If we're getting new champs out of Mania, which we all presume we are with Jay and Cena, like for Jay, you need the AJ Styles from last year, right? Like, oh, okay, former world champ. He's kind of a threat. Like, you just need to feed so you can, Jay can get a title defense. I mean, with Cena, I guess you could probably like throw Orton in there or, you know, start playing whatever greatest hits you want to with John Cena, you know, for somebody who doesn't need a title. But like, I don't think you want to start playing the Cena Punk card quite yet, like in that first feud after WrestleMania. So I'm curious what's next for all three of these guys that are going to be involved in this match after WrestleMania.
Time off? Well, no, say it's not AEW. It's what some of these guys crave, Gabe. Story. They'll just try to weave them into another story. Long-term storytelling that probably doesn't evolve a championship.
Oh, I mean, again, it is getting more and more interesting. I will give the story that it is getting a little bit more interesting. But we dive into the other top stories in the world of pro wrestling. We like to call it the three count here on GKW. Brian, what's number one
this week? All right, let's go to the world of AEW. We had Dynasty in the books this past weekend, and well, we still have the same AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley, and the Death Riders reign supreme with help of the Young Bucks. He's your guy, Gabe. But is Moxley hurting AEW?
Here's Gabe Knightson. Gabe.
All right. How do I try to spin this the best I can?
Oh no, I'm laying out. Go right ahead. It's your
guy. Because there's no defending how they closed the show. Like for this, unfortunately for AEW, for the second straight pay-per-view, felt like a really good show until we got to the end. And it just became, I don't know if they think they're kind of pulling off with what Roman was able to do at the height of the Bloodline, where everything was, it was like, it basically everything was a Bloodline rules match, right? Like it was overbooked. It had a lot of people in it, but it still found a way to be satisfying. Like this did not feel to find a way to be satisfying. And the explanation of the Young Bucks didn't really do it for me last night.
Nope.
Even though I did like Mox's promo to start off, Dynamite last night. I liked his match as well. And honestly, this is the way they should have been booking Jon Moxley for the way that match went yesterday for this entire time. Like, oh, hey, he doesn't need the Death Riders all the time, But, you know, he just thumb to the eye, you know, just something a little bit underhanded where he still comes out on top. Like, I didn't mind that, you know, Samoa Joe getting all fired up and cutting a promo. Sign me up for that, you know, 7 days a week and twice on Sundays. Like, that was a fine way to end the show, although who knows what the Trios Championships are going to look like because Pac, unfortunately, suffered an injury last night. So, like, there are like, bits and pieces I like, but overall, it's just still not working. And I guess if it has to be a yes or no, I mean, I don't think Moxley is hurting AEW. I think the storyline is hurting AEW because, again, there was a right way to do this, and they just really they've had more valleys than peaks. There have been a couple of good things to pick out of it, but for the most part, it's been kind of like, what the hell are you doing here? So I would say that this storyline is hurting AEW because there's a lot of good stuff happening in the women's division with Swerve, with Hangman, MJF and the Hurt Syndicate is what was fun last night. But ultimately, when your world championship is kind of mired and muddied by this storyline, you can only climb so high.
Gabe, I think we got to find you a new guy. You had Ray Phoenix. You had Ray Phoenix. You had John Moxley. It just, it's just, I think it's just time for you. What do you think? I think it's time.
Feels like it.
I mean,
this is an intervention right now.
This is an intervention, but I mean, let's wait until the belt's off of him. He takes a little bit of time off and then comes back. We'll wait and see. All right.
November when he drops the belt at Wrestle Dream, and then we'll reconvene in January of 26 when he comes back.
Wrestle Dream. Yeah, exactly. Wrestle Dream. You don't think he's dropping it all in at this point?
It's Wrestle Dream. We're waiting for Darby to get up that mountain. So we'll do it there.
No, God, no. Like, again, we're just talking about, like, not, you know, trying to figure out if Seth Rollins can be that top guy right now in WWE. Guess who's not the top guy in AEW? Darby.
Yes, and doesn't want to be because he doesn't come to work.
Right. Yep.
So.
Which, again, good for you. You got a bunch of other stuff you want to do in your life. Like, you are afforded that. But if you want to be the guy in a wrestling promotion, guess what you got to do?
Gotta wrestle. Gotta work. Think about this show that we saw on Dynasty, seeing Mercedes Moné against Julia Hart, Timeless Toni Storm against Megan Bain, which was my favorite match of Dynasty, Kyle Fletcher and Mark Briscoe, looking at Adam Cole and Garcia, looking at Kenny Omega, Ricochet, and Speedball in a three-way. Then you get to this last match. I'll tell you before you came on this screen here, I'll tell you what I told Brian, and I'll tell the audience. The show was going well, had an ebb and flow to it, and then you got to the main event. And you give it the benefit of the doubt because a lot of people thought that Swerve would win. I didn't think that Swerve would win, but I knew it would be entertaining. And you know what we saw? We didn't see pro wrestling. We saw MMA. Did you notice the way the match goes? Like, Swerve, would you be able to get stuff going, fly off the ropes, you know, off the top rope, off to the floor, and then Moxley, when he gets the advantage, side headlock, bulldog choke, MMA stuff. And I'm just like, he just cuts off the fun of wrestling for me. He does. Like, it's a certain style, but no one has that style in AEW. This thing where everyone can wrestle, where the best wrestle and all of this. And you've been seeing guys fly all over the ring. Then you get to John Moxley and just locks in with a hold. And it's just kind of like the crowd can't get into it because as soon as the crowd gets into it, like, okay, Swerve's got the advantage, then here he goes cutting it off again with an MMA move. And it's kind of like, God damn, man. Like, you're in the main event. You got to be able to do more than just, you know, death-defying stuff or holds or moves. Nobody wants to see that match end in a submission. So why so many submission matches? If I want to see Timothy Thatcher wrestler, I know where to find him. But does Timothy Thatcher have to be the AEW champion? Like it's gotta be a blend of both. And I don't think I'm getting a blend of both. I think that John is relaxed in his let me do something crazy or just let me just grab a hold for a while.
Well, because the AEW part of this is, I think, they end so many of these matches in the rear naked choke that John does is because the guys aren't tapping out. They're passing out, right? So they think they're protecting Swerve. They think they're protecting Cope. They think they're protecting all these guys. Like, oh, these are defiant baby faces who are going down in the end. So they don't want them and have their shoulders pinned to the mat. You know, like he could do the Death Rider DDT or the paradigm shift, whatever he calls it on any given night. But like, they want to protect all these baby faces and they don't want them to have, you know, those pins on the record that they put up there at the bottom of the screen. So some of it is the way that AEW wants to book these baby faces and try to make them look good by, well, they didn't tap out, they didn't pin, but they did, you know, they passed out because of this move.
Yeah, but it's like you said, Hood, it's because it's the last thing we see on these pay-per-views. These pay-per-views that are 100 miles per hour, that are go, 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 that are top-notch wrestling, and it's fine seeing different styles of wrestling, but when it's the last thing you see, it's like, oh, that's it. Like, because I would argue it's three straight pay-per-views. Like, he had the four-way also that was just sort of underwhelming. So you have all this stuff going on, and you compare it to Roman and the Bloodline matches. Like, most people didn't actually like that. Like, we like the payoff. We like the stories. But overall, the match was like, all right, like we've seen this every single time we see Roman. And
I mean, that's you. I know you still have it in there. Right. I know you still have it in there. What? Yeah, there it is. Are you tired of Roman? Like, see, I know he's still got it in there. He's got it in there, Hood. Just, you know, break glass in case of emergency. I think for the most part, like when it came to the Bloodline stuff, like we knew it was going to be overbooked. But I think there was going to be some fun had along the way. Even though I love Samoa Joe and I kind of like the, I mean, I don't like know if I like the name, the Ops, but I like the group. Like I like what he's doing there with Shibata and Hook and them getting involved and like the young, it was way too messy and way too over the top with all the different people who ended up getting involved in that match.
And they're also not getting heat. Like when you hear Mox come out, it's almost silent. Like, and it feels hard headed by AEW now where, when the angle first came, when we talked about it, it's like, all right, this is going to culminate in Dallas in your big stadium show. Someone's going to dethrone him. It's not working. And I feel like at this point, they're just waiting until we get to Dallas in July, which is still 3 months away. And it is hurting because it's the last thing we see every single pay-per-view to the point where it's like, do we need to stay up past midnight Eastern? Or should we turn it off after the triple threat? Like, oh, Mox main event, we know how that's going to end. Like, it's hurting them right now.
Yeah, I think they burned through what could have been a really good main event if you're going to switch the championship. Mm-hmm. Swerve with another opportunity to win, and then he falls short.
Hangman part, you wasted that. The Hangman helping him out. Like, that was a moment.
I want to make sure it's very clear that I respect Jon Moxley, mm-hmm. and the way he wrestles is good if he's not the World Heavyweight Champion. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Like, that style, and you want to be rugged, and that's fine. But just understand, man, you have Max. It's different. You know, you're trying to get ratings, and we haven't seen the championship, the actual championship, since October. I mean, it's in a lockbox, and it's just kind of like you just know it's a numbers game every time. I can understand if it was entertaining, but it's not. It's run its course, and they're just trying to stretch this out. And that's, honestly, go ahead.
That's the problem, is that they didn't realize that maybe they realize it, maybe they don't, but it doesn't seem like they've realized that this isn't working and haven't. Again, try something different within the group. If you wanted Mox to still be the champ and you want to like hold on, then try something different within the group. Try a different dynamic. Try something. But it just seems kind of bullheadedness to go, nope, this is what we're – it feels very Vince-esque, right? Oh, yeah. You don't know what you guys actually like. I'm going to tell you what you guys like. And this is what Tony Khan is just going to run out there until we get to All In.
If they had Tony Storm and Megan Bain as the main event, I wouldn't have blinked an eye. Because at least there's a story there. It was a push and pull. Like, can Tony beat Megan Bain? And Megan Bain had the match of her life, right? So if that was the main event, I'm like, you know what? I would have went away happy. Like, you know what? This close, Tony almost lost the championship. At least there's a story there. With Jon Moxley, it's the same old, same old.
And again, you did the Rocky angle with the video that you put up there. She came out in the robe with Luther as Mickey. Like, that pops the crowd. And so you're getting the compelling story to close out the show. You're sending the crowd home happy because you're getting the homage to the city that you're in as well. Like, again, for the second straight pay-per-view,
right?
Tony Storm should have been main eventing.
And I feel like that almost helps some of the issues. If Mox isn't the last thing we see, instead it's Tony versus Mariah two pay-per-views ago, versus Megan this one, I don't think we're complaining as much. No. It's because it's the last thing we see. It's the last thing where it's like, it's late. This is a long show.
I was about to say, and it's like you said, Brian, it's not worth staying up past midnight Eastern time for, right? Like, it is a school night, man. Some of us got to wake up and host a show in the morning. Like, I stayed up for this. Like, this is what I lost sleep for. And that's like the way you feel.
On Sunday, Jericho and Bandido was not great and took up way too much time, but it was buried earlier in the night, so you don't even think about it because so much stuff happens after that. Mox is the last thing you see.
Talk about an overbooked mess.
Oh, God.
It's the only way Jericho can survive. Everything's an overbooked match. It always is. We got to have this, and we got to have this, and we got to have this, and we have this. Like, can't you just wrestle the man? You can't do that? No. See, I'll be a mom involved. There's a slap here. I've got a bat. Look at this. I got the learning tree. I got the, like, it's so much going on there. I just think that with Moxley, and again, I'm sure he's good to the company. I'm sure that he's a great employee. It's just that match just seems like it just cuts off all your momentum watching that pay-per-view. Stylistically, it does not work for me at the end. That kind of wrestler, it doesn't work. And you're right. The way that match was on Dynamite, in which he takes on Shibata, I'm like, where this been? I thought that match was going to go 20 minutes. It went like 10. He cut him right off. The guy called the wrestler got beat by the heavyweight champion. Pretty good. How about that?
Yeah.
What is the Double or Nothing main event?
In Glendale.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, if Mox even defends.
Oh, or if it's Swerve Hangman versus the Bucks, is that the main event?
You could do Swerve Hangman versus the Bucks. You could make either Owen Hart match. My guess is on the men's side, you can make that because it's for a championship. You can make that the main event. You know, either one of those being for a championship opportunity at All In. Because they didn't really tease on the men's or women's side, because they had Timeless Toni Storm came out not to further a storyline for herself, but she was just on commentary.
Right.
For a tournament match, because the winner is going to get a chance at her eventually. And it seems like, oh, they're getting a shot at Tony. They're getting a shot at Mox. I don't know if either world championship is defended in Arizona at Double or Nothing.
Tony, if we were a tag team, we would just be called Tits. That's what she said.
Taz can't handle it, man. Like, Taz cannot handle when Tony Storm is on commentary. There's nothing, like, he's just... he's just way too entertained by everything she says and way too shocked by everything she says. Like, he just can't
break at all.
Can't contain himself.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, that's why she's the best, and that's why she should have main event status in this company.
Like,
yeah.
Poor Excalibur's trying to call the damn match. And then she's just making a double entendre after double entendre.
And you can't, and she doesn't break. She just stares up straight ahead, looking crazy. Oh, it'd be called Tits. Crazy woman. I love her.
Yeah,
she's
so
good.
You can run that back with Megan Bain, by the way, if you like. I'll see that. I'll watch that 10 times out of 10. I'll watch it again because Megan looked great. She made Megan Bain. All the complaints online from the internet wrestling community is like, oh, she doesn't speak. She didn't talk. She wrestled her ass off. She almost won the championship. That's a great story.
But that's why she has Penelope Ford. And then when she does say the five or six words or whatever she said last night, like, it's more impactful.
Yes.
Right? Like, it was kind of like Brock Lesnar for the longest time when he had Paul Heyman. Like, the times where he would rip the microphone away from Paul to actually say something, it had more impact.
Oh, so that's how you book Camille. Well, you didn't get that, did you?
No, definitely did not. What do we got number two this week, Brian?
All right, over in the WWE Women's Division, we saw a pretty fun promo Friday Night SmackDown between Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton that, according to multiple reports, went off script. Who looked worse on Friday, Tiffy or Charlotte?
Wade Barrett. Portland. I just felt bad for the man. Like, he's just standing there in the middle, like, watching this thing go off the rails and being like, what can I do here? I guess Charlotte looks worse, but I don't know. I personally didn't, like, the whole thing just seemed weird and awkward, and especially with reports, I think Sean Ross Sapp, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. I think he was the one who had said that Like none of this was cleared. Like, so going after someone with their, you know, pretty recent divorce after she was on a talk show crying about it. And obviously it was something that was, that seems pretty out of bounds to me. So I think in the moment it looked like Charlotte, because it seemed like she tried to get in the last shot. Oh, is that why Kaiser's in my DMs? But as time has passed and we find out more and more information, I think it seems to me like Tiffy was desperate to try to get one up because of how bad she has looked previously. And I think she comes off worse, especially if it is true that she brought up the divorce and the 0-3 without getting it cleared beforehand.
And WWE, that's just unprofessional. By the way, WWE cut out all that stuff when posting it on YouTube after the show.
So clearly it's not cleared for them to edit it post.
Yes.
So it all starts by being in an A town like Chicago. And the story is that Chicago is Ric Flair country. So when the Horsemen were running roughshod in the NWA, they'd go to the Snuggery. They'd go to the Viagra Triangle up north. They'd go to all these places, right? And they had a relationship with the Blackhawks. And so they get anything free, drinks, food, women, whatever, in Chicago. This is a Flair city right here, going back to those days. He also spent time with the Chicago Bears during that time, too, just out there drinking and having a fun time. So this has always been Flair country. So even with Charlotte, you would think that the crowd here would have supported Charlotte. In this scenario, Charlotte Flair got lost. She got lost because the crowd got behind Tiffy. Tiffy started it by being more aggressive. We talked about it on the show, guys, about how he's like, boy, Charlotte just ate up Tiffany. Boy, that wasn't good. It was one-sided. No question that Tiffy's going to lose the championship. And I don't know if this is in the back or something that Tiffy came up with, but her lines were right off the bat. She was attacking Charlotte right away. And because the crowd got after Charlotte, Charlotte lost her place in the promo. She's just like, so I'll let you have the last word, because Chicago kept rooting for Tiffy. You notice what Tiffy's doing? She say a line and raise her arm in the belt, and the crowd's behind Tiffy, and Charlotte's like, what the hell? This is my town. This is my family's town. And yeah, she got lost, and she, you have the final word. And so going after Ric Flair, like the way that Tiffy did, talking about drinking, and she had a drinking problem as a young person in dad's basement, 0-3, as far as your divorces, I will tell you, Charlotte looked bad, but also Triple H looked bad. Because if you are Triple H, you have to be able to know, based on that last time that they had a one-on-one, there might be something going on here. Let's make sure we get our line straight. It was like an AEW promo. They were just wide open with it. Holy shit. So the veteran Charlotte should have been able to be able to calm the waters, be better than that, because Tiffy's only 25.
Yeah, that's why I almost put more blame on Charlotte, because she was so rattled by that crowd. Like, you're a heel. Like, I know they from day one thought she'd come back as a face, everyone would be excited, but like, that's not who Charlotte is. Like, you're better than everyone. You show that you're a heel. So the fact that she was so rattled makes me put the blame more on her. From the Tiffy side, like, yes, you probably cross a line, but we've talked about it. Real life issues sell money. If they can get past it, now all of a sudden this match is a lot more interesting on Mania weekend, because we've talked about the last couple weeks.
This isn't real life issues. This isn't Punk going at, like, this is deeper than that. Like, this is getting to, like, this isn't like, oh, I've got a problem with you. Like, this is, I don't know. It feels more out of bounds. Like, when Punk is sitting there eating his pastry in Chicago, like, he's got a personal issue with the Young Bucks, right? Sure. Like, that they don't like each other. But at no point did, you know, he called them children. Like, everything he did, like, just kind of went after them a little bit. Like, going after her marriage and, like, bringing stuff like that in.
Yeah, that, but, like, the real life part.
That's different. That's different to me than, oh, personal issues matter. Like, this one feels a little dirtier than that to me. Like, this is pretty dirty.
More because of Tiffy's reaction. Like, she drops the line and then runs the hell out of the way because she knew, like, something might be coming after that. Like,
yeah,
that,
so,
like, oh, maybe there's something there.
Well, yeah, so when her rolling out of the ring, she was the heel in that spot.
Right. So,
because the champions, as a babyface, you don't run out. Right. The way she goes, 0-3, woo, and then rolls out of the ring, is like, oh, you're being the heel here. And then Charlotte's like, the whole thing about Kaiser, which was out of bounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's call it now.
And the whole thing just spiraled, right? It just all spiraled.
So here's what will happen. The bell will ring, and we're going to get Nia Jax against Charlotte on Raw. It's going to be kind of awkward. You remember this, guys?
Yeah.
Where Nia Jax is the pushing and like slapping each other. I'm like, and they were like, well, what's going on here? Why are they? Because that was a shoot, right? They had a problem with each other. Here's what I'd love to know, and maybe we won't know this until a WWE Vault documentary comes out. I would love to know, Gabe, Brian, that they worked this together. I hope that was the case, because this matchup was not a hot match.
No.
You know what Triple H says? I'll place the match where I think it should be placed based on the heat or based on, you know, how well the match is received. Everyone's like, what is this on the internet? Maybe it's more than just an opener now.
I mean, hopefully.
I don't know. Especially because WWE, like, I don't know. It depends upon, do they want to reward that behavior?
Right.
Because obviously they had an issue with it if they scrubbed it from the replaying of it. And I don't think you can reward that. Because again, you up this match on the card, you put it in a better spot, you're just giving a green light for anyone. Hey, do whatever the hell you want. Doesn't matter. You do whatever the hell you want. If as long as you do it well, you can go and go further up the card. I don't think you can run that risk if you're Hunter.
All right. Pre-show.
Yeah, I think it's more likely Charlotte wins in 5 minutes and we don't see Tiffany near the title for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which sucks.
Like if, I think after what happened on Friday, I think you brought up Charlotte versus Nia Jax. I think Cena and Brock Lesnar from SummerSlam, a decade ago. Yeah, I think that's, you know, where Charlotte just absolutely just tears, you know, Tiffy Stratton and just German suplex after German suplex after German suplex, and it ends up being a squash match.
Whew, that will send a message. Then that's just wide open. Then everyone knows what happened if that happened.
Right? Yeah.
Everybody knows, and that would be bad because, quite frankly, I think that Stratton's had some good matches. I want to see her growth. We know what the Charlotte Flair act is. And by the way, she's Charlotte Flair. She has carte blanche to do whatever anyway because she's Ric Flair's daughter, and Triple H loves the Flair family. So I would say that this is not the opener that I thought it was going to be, because that was what we were thinking a couple weeks ago. I think that this moves down the card a little bit more because of the heat, because now people are very interested in seeing how the ebb and flow of this match goes.
I'm curious, and I feel like it'll be a tell. Last year, they do Media Day the Friday before. And last year, LA Knight and AJ Styles got into a fight. And, you know, you have all the media, all the cameras, and it was sort of shootish. Excuse me. I wonder if they do that with those two this year. Like, you do something, you know, real life and sort of see what happens and see if there's any heat there.
Yeah, again, it depends upon how much trouble they're both in for doing what they did on Friday. I wonder what the issues they have now with Triple H, with the producers backstage for the way this all played out.
Okay, I'm going to need you to get off your high horse, Neitzel, because you slap teammates. You damage teammates. You fight them. You did that.
Okay. That was for the kids. All right. it was for charity. I mean, if a fan is donating $1,000 for me to slap Ben Brust, and it goes to childhood cancer research, like, it's for the kids. It's for the kids.
What about when you slap me? What about that? That wasn't for the kids.
Well, that was for me.
Okay. See, that's what I mean. See, that's, I don't like the idea of you slapping teammates. I just think that's wrong. But you know.
But you know, again, like I've been with the company for 22 years. I get to do what I want.
You really can. Actually, you really can. You really are tenured. I can't do the things you. That's true. That's actually a good point.
What have we got at number three this week, Brian? That's a good
point. All right. We also learned on SmackDown Kevin Owens.
JR? For God's sakes, would you just come out with it? What is it? What's the ring?
A part of WrestleMania, his opponent, Randy Orton, looking for an opponent. Who should have been faced at WrestleMania?
And you're, and his mic sucks too. His mic's not.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Now his mic. Yeah, first his voice goes, then the microphone starts going. I believe the question he was asking, Jay Hood, who what? Should Randy Orton face at WrestleMania? Because now we know. And again, Kevin Owens, tough luck for him that he needs to get neck surgery and obviously won't be able to face Orton at WrestleMania. So who do we want to see Orton face at WrestleMania?
The SmackDown General Manager.
It's kind of what I was thinking, right?
Yeah, it's like, Aldis is ready, brother. He's been ready. He brings his gear, apparently, every week. So it's, and I know that's maybe not entertaining for the WWE masses, but Aldis can go. It's a short build, and put him in the ring. He looks great.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know.
Does the WWE crowd care in that instance?
Oh, I mean, he's a character. I mean, but here's the thing. How much does Aldis get? Is it a 1 minute match?
Right.
Is it five? I mean, he's good though. Like all this, he'll time a knot if they allow him to.
Yeah. I just, cause I don't know at this point who else Randy Orton, cause again, they had built up, like he was out for all that time just so he could come back and go after, you know, Kevin Owens. And like, it'd be one thing if Owens and Sammy were somehow aligned, but instead Owens took out Sammy, right? Like there's just nobody like even adjacent to KO that could even step up and go, oh, in KO's stead, I'll step up and I'll take you on, Randy. Like there's not any of that. So Nick Aldis kind of seems like the, well, we want Randy on WrestleMania. So Nick, you get a WrestleMania moment, bud.
Is Americano on the card?
Yes. He's facing Rey Mysterio.
That would have been good. It's got to be one of these guys.
Because that's the other thing. It's a 2-night card. So, like, most of the roster's already got something booked.
What if you do, Orton goes out there and says, hey, I want a match, like, anyone back there, and that's how you have Miro or Aleister Black come out.
Love that booking.
Yeah, but then they'd have to lose to Orton.
Correct. That's the only issue there.
That's all so right. Like, you know what, Randy? You didn't know it was going to come through that curtain. You lose. Gone. There you go.
And apparently those two don't like losing much, so that could become an issue, I guess.
Well, I was about to say, like the reports around Miro not showing up in AEW because he wasn't going, that doesn't work for me, pal. I don't know.
It's got to be someone that's been wrestling, that we see too much on TV that does not have a WrestleMania match. And there's a number of those people, mm-hmm. by the way, as you well know. There's a number
Karrion
of people.
Cross?
We're going to see him next week, and that'll be all. I guess AJ Styles. He's actually going to wrestle. Can you imagine that?
Sheamus?
We've seen that match. And Sheamus probably won't wrestle at WrestleMania, right? He won't. He's not on the card.
I don't think he's got anything, no.
I saw this list last week about names that aren't on the card as of now. So Sheamus, KO, Sammy, Jimmy Uso, Solo, Cross, Uncle Howdy.
Oh, what happened to Uncle Howdy? Are they still around? Are they still in the contract in the company?
They're still work there.
Wyatt Six? Okay. Elton Prince?
Did you sign up for Solo?
Okay. Just feed him Joe Hendry and let's get it over with. Like that, right? Like that'll pop the crowd. Hendry can lose. Like it's not a big deal if Hendry loses. He gets to be on WrestleMania. Like just make it, yes, open challenge. Hendry shows up. Orton gives him an RKO. Everybody has a good time, and we call it a day.
I don't hate that, and that's also part of the chorus for the TNA relationship. Like, hey, they mentioned us. Like, oh, we got squashed by someone. But, hey, they mentioned us.
And that WrestleMania weekend, that'll be his fourth match that weekend in Vegas. Joe Hendry.
Whatever.
Somebody from NXT, probably not ready for that level yet. NXT champion? No, not yet. Ricky Starks.
God. Ricky Starks. Like, again, you don't want to feed Ricky Starks, I think, to Randy.
He'd be glad to take it. Are you kidding me? He'd be so happy.
Sure. But, like, that's a poor introduction to the main roster audience. Just eating an RKO at Mania.
Idea. If he goes out there, has a good, you know, challenge and ultimately loses, but, like, puts up a battle, and then Orton raises his hand still at the end.
To give him the old rub, the Orton rub.
Yeah.
It's going to end up being R-Truth. Okay. Next topic. I mean, but
truth comes out, thinks he's wrestling Cena. Like,
yeah, sure. And again, whatever it is, it's not going to be a long match. And I know that Orton's probably disappointed in that, but I mean, he's a veteran, man. He can handle it. He can handle it.
I think it's, you're just more disappointed that Randy doesn't get that big time match, but you're even more disappointed. I'm sure, like, again, because he's been around for so long, like, he's just bummed for KO because, like, we don't know how serious this neck injury is going to ultimately end up being until after he has the surgery done.
Awkward booking to get Sammy back involved.
Yeah.
For his friend. I mean, for his friend, the come up is for his friend.
If you had 6 weeks, if you had 4 weeks, maybe you could do something, but we've got this Friday, we've got Monday, and next Friday. We got three shows.
Yeah, I think you could have done that if you wrote the KO injury as part of the story.
Yeah.
Like, Randy goes too far, takes out KO. Sammy's like, why'd you do that? Like, you crossed the line. I'll face you.
Randy against KO was going to be fine. Good filler match.
Oh, yeah, it was going to be really fun.
It's going to be fine, but I'm not saying, oh, my God, we're not going to get Randy Orton because I'm so focused on everything else. It's fine. It'll be a nice quick match when you get on to the other 10 minutes of commercials right afterwards. It's fine.
Yep.
What do we got at News and Notes this week, Brian?
All right. Well, here may be an option for WrestleMania. Chris Jericho was at the Horror Rock and Wrestle Fest. He was asked if he would ever go back to the WWE and said, quote, it's not even never say never. It's consider all your options and choose wisely. He noted that things have changed there, and that's why his options are more open.
Which is weird, because he always, like, was so loyal to Vince for such a long time. Like, when this whole thing started, and he first went over to New Japan and, like, was wrestling matches over there, he was like, yeah, I mean, I've got really good relationships, because I think Callis was over at TNA at the time, and, like, yeah, I've got good relationships with whatever, but, like, I've got too much respect for Vince. Like, I'm just going to do this New Japan thing. If I ever wrestle in North America, like, I got to run that past Vince first because I got too much respect for him. And obviously that deteriorated to the point where he became the first AEW world champion. But yeah, I don't know. That's really strange, because he always seemed like such a Vince guy. So for him to be like, oh, now things have changed over there, I'd consider going back. That's interesting.
Yeah, he always changes his mind. He said that once upon a time said that it didn't matter if he went to the WWE Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be going back to eventually get into the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
He realized, and by the way, his time is up. I couldn't believe how long that interview session was with the Learning Tree and with Big Bill and the Apple. I'm like, dude, this is going nowhere. Enough of this. If they're going to break up and get it off my TV. Put it to ROH. I guess at least fast forward through that.
Well, I was at least hoping that they would, like, put him through a table or something. Instead, he's like, no, I got to leave, because I'm pretty sure Fozzy's got a tour coming up. So,
baseball bat through the screen. I haven't seen that before. Okay. Just go. Yeah. I mean, if he goes to WWE, he'll be on speed and have a few matches here or there and then get to the Hall of Fame. Sure.
You mentioned the Vince side. I wonder how much of this is the AEW side and the crowd sort of turning on him. Not in a, like, oh, you're a heel, and a, hey, let's fast forward through this part now. Because there obviously was time to fill last night, because I think because the Pac injury probably shortened that match.
Yeah.
And somehow he got the time to fill.
Yeah.
But, like, he's fast forward for me now, which hurts to say.
Again, well, the problem with Jericho is he just never – and I guess this is a credit to him. Like, he never gets hurt, right? Like, and that's a good thing. But also, a lot of times when wrestlers get hurt and they go away, it gives you that opportunity to miss them. This is part of the conversation, I think, that always gets folded in as well when we talk about wrestlers getting a time off, like actually getting, actually getting that time off and a little bit of a break, because it allows you to miss them. And it just, he's been going straight through because he's been healthy and he's always there. And to his credit, he usually comes up with something that's good and interesting and grabs the crowd. He's the Mr. Reinvention, and the Learning Tree was a big old swing and a miss.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't want to see him on the TV anymore, and I've respected him for years, but your time is up in the territory. You're done.
I agree. Some AEW injuries coming out reports. We saw Pac last night hurt his ankle in that match against Swerve Strickland. Jay White currently out with a broken hand. Mark Davis and Brian Cage out. And also Orange Cassidy, according to Fightful, with a torn pec.
You know, I feel bad but they got plenty of people they're not utilizing that need to be on TV. Hey, by the way, since all those guys are out, could you bring Wardlow back at some point, please? Oh, thank you.
I think he still works there.
Try that. It's just and it comes down to this, guys, and wrestlers say this all the time. Man, if you only work once a month or twice a month, man, you just don't have – your body's not calloused enough to be able to take punishment. These guys, they wrestle – I give Moxley credit that he wrestled in the pay-per-view and was able to wrestle on Wednesday. A number of them did, which is great. But, man, when you're only wrestling once or twice a month, then you're apt to get injuries. Yeah. So I'm not surprised at that at all.
I will say that, again, this rash of injuries has, to me, I think, led to even more of the women being featured, which is such a strong point of AEW. To, again, we're getting more and more Athena as well on AEW television, which is a win for everybody.
Finally, news and notes. Gunther on the Ariel Helwani show says he has signed a new long-term deal with the WWE, adds that he is a Triple H guy and that he helped save his career.
He said that he changed – what did he say? He changed wrestling?
Yes.
Doesn't Gunther say that?
Better because of Triple H.
He saved professional wrestling. That's a big fucking statement there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it really is.
Do I think that wrestling's a better place with Triple H in charge? Yes, I can agree with that. I think we can all agree. Yeah. WWE professional wrestling is a better spot with Triple H in charge of creative over at WWE. I don't know how much he's changed the game.
You see some of that creative? I'd probably say no too. I think as a show, we need to have, like, you got to carve out a half hour for that, Brian. We got to talk about, like, the hits and misses. Maybe after WrestleMania, the hits or misses of Triple H and his regime. I mean, it's fine, but there's some things it's just like, you're doing the same thing, the old man. Did you just keep rolling the same matches out there like we didn't see it before?
Karrion Kross.
The next round of cuts. He'll be the one, him and Scarlett.
I don't know. Hunter loves that guy.
I was about to say.
Kross still here.
Like, the fact that he's still standing tells me he ain't going anywhere.
He's got AJ Styles' hair too, which I think is very strange. So what is that all about, Karrion? What are you doing? It's very strange. But but by the way, and so you just know that Gunther wasn't going to AEW anywhere else, so. I mean, when you've been the champion about 90% of the time in that company, you ain't going nowhere.
Yep.
And not only is he easy to see why, if I was carrying a strap for that long, I'd be a Triple H guy too.
The whole time, NXT, WWE, I'm the champ. He likes me. Why am I going someplace? Yeah.
What did you boys have for your matches of the week?
I thought, just going back to our conversation about Dynamite, I thought that Bane and Tony Storm was the best match I saw. Just love the ebb and flow of that matchup at Dynasty. What was your favorite matches at Dynasty?
I go the Triple Threat.
Yeah, the Triple Threat was really good. Well, again, it's hard. Like, the Triple Threat was good. Like, this might be the first time that Ospreay doesn't sneak into that top three.
Right.
Which it was still like a good, like, don't get me wrong. Good match, but it wasn't like the classic Will Ospreay type. So yeah, the Triple Threat was up there. Enjoyed that.
And Ricochet's so damn good as a heel.
Yes, he is. Yeah, nothing like to slap the bald head spot. That's the most popular thing now.
Everybody was licking their hands so they could get that off on Dynamite last night.
And it's someone pointing out also Mark Briscoe doing it as a bald guy makes it even more amusing.
It's such an 80s thing to call someone bald when it's commonplace now for people to be bald. Yeah. It's okay to be bald, but just like, nope, that guy's bald. We'll laugh at him. You're Kojak. What? It's 2025. It's okay. It's fine. But that's but it gets over. That whole ball thing gets over. Bayley against Valkyria.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. In terms of WWE matches, that was on my short list.
We assume they're going to Mania to challenge for the tag titles.
Yes. Yes.
So you get Bayley on the card at least.
Yeah, but then Bayley's going to turn on her, right?
I guess.
Yeah, that's a good call. Actually, I don't mean to be Tony. It's a good call. but take a drink, by the way, when he gives you that. That's a good call. How about if I do play-by-play with you, like I'm doing the color, and I'll just say that's a good call every time, Gabe? How many times could you take me saying that during your play-by-play? It's just, that's a good call.
But you brought it up earlier, Hood, and I am a big Julia Hart stan, so yeah. I really enjoyed her and Mercedes.
Very good match.
Again, going back to your point of wrestling more often, like, and we knew this was going to happen, but I just the evolution of Mercedes in AEW, because again, she didn't have a ton of matches. She had some, certainly in Japan, but the more and more she gets, the more and more we get back to seeing her the way she was as Sasha Banks wrestling some of her best matches back in WWE.
LWO against the Creeds and Americano.
Okay.
Good match. I don't know why they had a $400,000, you know, eight-way tag team match when we never saw the money. Where's the money? I don't believe
you. We'll see.
And why are we giving away money?
Why are you doing that? Let me see the briefcase. You give away $400,000. Let's see it. I think it's a lie. Yeah. How about that? I think it's a work.
What?
Well, we'll see.
Wait. You're telling me
true or not?
You're telling me Mark Briscoe didn't actually get to diversify his portfolio with his $100,000 share? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Jay Hood?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
I don't know. Ospreay last night tweeted he's going to Disney and that it's booked.
Let's see the money.
I don't know. I mean, he's going to Disney. What else do you need?
Well, is there going to be some B-roll of that? Can I see that?
Book Disney World and Epic Universe. Will Ospreay. Congrats to him. Bruv.
Gentlemen, let me just tell you. If I don't see the money, I don't think it's true. Because back in the day, Harley Race would show you the attaché case with the money. See that? World title and the money. When he's going after Ric Flair, the $25,000. There was $25,000 in that briefcase right there. You see that?
Wow. That makes it real.
Real money.
The other WWE match, Gabe, your guys on SmackDown now, Rey Fénix versus Nathan Frazier, where it's just like, hey, you guys go out there and do cool stuff. That was fun on Friday.
Yeah, it was fun to see Rey Fénix go out there and do his thing. I don't want to hear now anybody from WWE start praising that style. Again, if you didn't love Rey Fénix in AEW, guess what? He just showed up on Friday night and did his thing in WWE.
That's the fight on the internet. Stuff. Yeah, exactly. That's it on the internet. The wrestling community is like, oh, they just do flippy stuff. That's funny. I'm watching flippy stuff all the time in WWE. Is that okay? Is it okay now or no? So ridiculous. Thank God we're the only three wrestling fans that are sane on this earth.
Wrestling's wrestling, man. Like, yeah. I mean, because guess what? Rey Fénix wasn't going to WWE to change his style of wrestling. Wasn't going to happen.
What if he turned into Moxley? Just had a Moxley problem. Just grabbing a hold.
Just started a lot of chokeholds.
Can you imagine how sad Rey came out there and had Frazier in a side headlock? Not doing anything else?
Oh, if he came out there and started doing headlocks, like I think I'd have to boycott WWE. Like if you put that kind of a leash on my guy, Rey Fénix.
Full arm dragon twist, Nigel.
Again, we'll see if Triple H is a coward like TK. Put the world championship on him. All right, let's just put the world championship on Rey Fénix. Let's see what happens, Hunter. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to do it right away. You've got some time, but you're on coward watch 2025.
Or Gabe will slap you.
That is a thing that I do, apparently. You can comment, subscribe, check out anything we've got on YouTube, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling, with some of the fun interviews. Again, we talked to Soraya recently. If you happen to miss that interview as part of GKW, check it out, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling, plus all of our past shows up there as well. We are just a little over a week away from WrestleMania. A couple more shows to preview. We'll have our WrestleMania preview show coming up next week. I don't even know. Oh, we got Tommy Waddle. Hey, shout out to Waddle making a special appearance on GKW. Again, if you're listening, this is why you should be watching on YouTube. We'll be back again next week to discuss all things pro wrestling and maybe a little Tommy Waddle next week here on GKW.